Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here, and it's also a pleasure to have our very special guest, Alicia Economos, joining us. She's a highly sought-after speaker, author, seasoned life coach, and founder and owner of the Wholehearted Living Program. Living wholeheartedly is experiencing a sense of harmony, self-confidence, and joy, despite any challenging circumstances or hardships we may be going through. Alicia shares research that indicates the average person has well over 35,000 self-thoughts each day. 35,000 self-thoughts each day. And on average, over 75% of those daily thoughts are negative and self-defeating. Therefore, they have tragic consequences on our lives. The good news is, however, we can learn to rewire our brains by decluttering some of those beliefs about who we are, what we're capable of doing, and who God is. You know, all that outside noise sometimes that comes our way where others are telling us who we are and who we should be, and some of that is self-limiting. After doing all of this, you can be empowered to live up to your fullest potential. Alicia is very passionate about helping others, help them learn to live wholeheartedly as a way of intentionally living life, decluttering your relationship with yourself and your past. Hopes you see a new path forward, because the most pivotal relationship that we have is the one with ourselves. In fact, clients in her Wholehearted Living Program discover that through the exploration of their own stories with complete authenticity and vulnerability, too. They acquire self-compassion. They also come to realize they're not alone and learn that, you know, we all have much more in common with each other than we could imagine. Through her Wholehearted Living Program, she also offers the tools that allow participants to become free from the trauma of their pasts so they can embrace the present with confidence and the future with hope. She says, bottom line, her mission is to enthusiastically encourage others to discover who they are in Christ. Coming to us from Des Moines, Iowa, let's welcome Alicia to the show, Close Up Radio, for part one of an exclusive two-part series here. We're very excited. Alicia, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you here, and thanks for joining us today on Close Up Radio.
Thank you for having me, Jim. It's great to be here.
I'm glad you sound all excited and pumped and ready to go, and that's the best way to be because you're living life at its fullest, and you totally appreciate the human condition, and you're so good at helping guide others along the way as well. You know, I love to find out what inspires people to do the work that they do. Tell us about Wholehearted Living and some of those inspirations in your own life's journey that developed the opportunity to establish Wholehearted Living.
Sure, absolutely. So Wholehearted Living is a business that I founded 13 years ago, and it's a crazy story, Jim. It really was the result of what I say, it was a mental download that I received from God. I had never experienced anything like it in the past, but he revealed to me a vision of what women in particular could accomplish and really the impact they could have on their families, their communities, and ultimately the world if they just learned how to get out of their own way. And in other words, if they learned how to discover who they really are, what I define as the incredible woman that God created in each one of us, and then ultimately learned what they were created to do and embrace that passion, or that purpose rather, with passion. So I literally, as I got this download, I just typed for months on end, and I'd periodically look up and I'd say to my husband, this is amazing stuff, and he'd just kind of go, okay, you know, we didn't have any idea what was happening. But I had no intention of writing a book. At that time, I still believed a lot of junk about myself, one being that I wasn't smart enough. But I just had to get this download out onto paper and out of my head. So when I finished writing, it turned out to be the three books that became the curriculum for the Wholehearted Living program. So tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor.
I tell you. And what, you know, when you think about it, I love the wholehearted approach. It's so important. You know, it's really touching upon mind, body, and spirit concurrently. From your vantage point, being immersed in this work, what does it mean to live wholeheartedly?
Great question. Yes, living wholeheartedly. You know, it can be defined in a variety of ways, and of course, I believe it means different things to different people. So ultimately, each person has to define that for him or herself. However, I can say that in working with hundreds of clients through the Wholehearted Living program, there are a couple of definitions that seem to resonate with a lot of people. So there are four in particular. The first one is just simply knowing who you are, knowing who you aren't, and being okay with both. The second is living with authenticity, valuing yourself and embarking on your life's purpose. The third is living with nothing to hide, nothing to lose, nothing to fear, and nothing to prove. Sounds like freedom, doesn't it? And the last one, the one that I personally use, I define living wholeheartedly as loving God, myself, and others with all my heart. And of course, that's based on Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. So again, though, each person has to kind of define what does that mean to them to live wholeheartedly, to live fully every day of their life.
That's so very, very true, right? In your, you know, book, which I think is really incredible, taking the stage, learning to like yourself, you share some devastating circumstances that even you faced. Can you share a little about those challenges and how they impacted your approach to living wholeheartedly?
Absolutely. In 2017, at just 57 years old, my husband Ted was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, he was Greek, so he ate predominantly a healthy Mediterranean diet. He exercised regularly. He did everything you're supposed to do. And he looked like the picture of health. But nevertheless, we had to wrap our reins around this terrible and terminal diagnosis of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And then, just 10 months later, I went in for my annual mammogram, and as was fairly common, was called back for some additional views. But what wasn't common is then I received the diagnosis of breast cancer. Now, I know we've all heard that expression, God won't give you more than you can handle, right?
I have to say,
it felt like a lot to handle both his cancer and all of the treatments and my cancer as well. So for the next 2 years, we shared an oncologist, and we had a great oncologist who I'm sure was heaven sent, and we joked with him and asked if he could at least give us a 2-for-1 special, right?
Exactly.
So during those 2 years, I had 4 cancer surgeries and, of course, lots of appointments, and Ted had countless procedures and surgeries and treatments and daily shots and more. But despite both of our cancers, we continued to work full time. We enjoyed a lot of fun with that. We have a big fat Greek family and enjoyed a lot of friends and just had a pretty good quality of life. I would describe it as we really learned to experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. Ted was very handsome. He did some modeling on the side of his day job. And many people would say, how can he have cancer? There's just no way. Look at him. And he did. He looked amazing. But 3.5 years after Ted's initial diagnosis, and of course, originally, we had been told that he only had maybe months to a year to live. But 3.5 years, we had a pretty good life together. But then we got the news that there wasn't anything more they could do. So Ted passed away actually just 6 days after we got that news, really fast. And unfortunately, it was just the first few months into the start of the COVID outbreak. So a lot of my grieving was done in isolation, and it wasn't easy.
Thanks for sharing that. That's very personal and very deep and real and also relatable, because you never know when people are going through things themselves, and when they hear your openness and authenticity in a story like this, it makes them think, you know, maybe there's things that I can do and maybe we can turn things around and live wholeheartedly. Do you think most people today are living wholeheartedly, or not so much?
You know, sadly, Jim, I see a lot of people living what I describe as half-heartedly. I think many people feel just stuck and disconnected, feel overwhelmed, and unfortunately, they numb out with things like people-pleasing and perfectionism, and of course, with alcohol and food and drugs. Sadly, the most common drug of our day to numb our pain is simply being busy. And man, was I the queen of being busy. I used to say that, you know, you hear about the performance treadmill. I had two treadmills going. Run on one, keep the other one going with the other foot. You know, it looked good, but it was exhausting. So I definitely see a lot of people missing the mark, feeling like they're not living fully their life, thinking there's something out there. They don't know what it is. And I felt that way. I believed a lot of stuff about myself. But through, especially during these years, and then as Ted passed, I saw that God had actually been preparing me for this. Because 13 years previously, as he had me launch this wholehearted living business, he gave me the tools and taught me how to develop a healthy relationship with myself and then with him. And I had those tools already going. I was living wholeheartedly. And that is what allowed me to thrive in the midst of really challenging circumstances. And that's why I am so passionate about helping others get their hands on these tools, do some decluttering work emotionally and spiritually, so we can live our best life.
And that's really what it's about, right? I mean, it's just something that if we do it, I think life will change in such a positive way. From your perspective, and you've been sharing quite a bit, what are the most common obstacles coaching clients face in their work to become wholehearted?
Yes, great question. And, you know, many people come with a variety of wounds from their past, of course. But I would say there are four things in particular that I think are the biggest obstacles that many of us face. And the first is just our beliefs about who we think we are and what we're capable of, as well as our beliefs about who God is and what he wants or expects from us. I'll say more about that in a moment. But the second one is lack of skills for simply handling feelings effectively. Many of us, I grew up in a household where we didn't do feelings. You know, you felt good or bad and get on out the door and there's work to be done. So we really have to learn how to take care of those feelings. Also, we carry guilt and shame from our past. You know, I say I took the scenic route to adulthood, you know, made some bad choices along the way. And then lastly, just wounds and unmet needs from our past, from our upbringing, which again, I talk about emotional clutter. So kind of back to the big one, our beliefs. I grew up in a really functional home, although I believe we all grew up at dysfunction junction. Every family has dysfunction. There isn't a perfect family. But I grew up with the belief that I wasn't smart enough, that I wasn't pretty enough, that I was too loud, too energetic, and that my personality was a problem that needed to be fixed. So you can imagine how those beliefs held me back from pursuing or even identifying who I was and what my calling was. So those beliefs are what do so much damage to us, especially today as adults.
That's so very, very true. Yeah, and working through that can be, you know, there's a wounds and emotional clutter that need to be worked through. Let's talk about how we do some of that. What is the emphasis of your life coaching program?
The program consists of the most important relationships that impact the quality of our lives. So it's 3 8-week courses. They're all the books that I've written, your relationship with yourself and your past, the second, your relationship with others, and the third, your relationship with God. And so coaching clients go through the program with life coaching and connect with that heart, you know, that little girl within them, work through their past, kind of take over the parenting of their own heart, and learn to guard our hearts for, as Scripture says, you know, it's the wellspring of life. So through those series of those eight-week online courses, they learn the steps to develop and maintain a healthy relationship with themselves and then to build on that for their relationships with others. And then, like I said, ultimately their relationship with God. And so many clients, me included, you know, I grew up, again, believing I was a burden and a bother. So as much as I wanted to connect with God as a loving father, I was 40 before I came a believer, and then at that point really struggled to understand and receive his love because I still didn't like who I was and believed I wasn't lovable.
And that's, yeah, if you think you're not lovable, then that can really have an impact on your life throughout your life. It's extraordinary, like you say, the relationship with yourself, with others, with God. More specifically, what does your weekly decluttering courses involve for the participants in this series of eight-week courses that you have, which I think is phenomenal?
Yes, each of the 8 weeks, the participants, and I do call them participants, not clients, because they participate greatly in this process of decluttering. But there is a reading assignment. There's a chapter in the book online to read, or they can listen to the audio file. And then they always have a writing application assignment. And then that gets turned into their coach to get feedback as well before they ever step into the group coaching session. But step by step, they declutter their own personal story through these weekly modules and then the group coaching sessions. And unfortunately, this very moment, our doors to our program are closed, but we'll be opening them up again later this fall. We've just got a full house, full load right now. But I'm currently doing a fair amount of speaking and sharing my testimony, my story. I'm also working on writing the sequel to my first book that is not part of the curriculum. That book, as you mentioned earlier, is called Taking the Stage, Learning to Like Yourself. And that book culminated with events the end of 2020. And so a lot has happened in the last 3 years. My faith has been tested and grown like crazy. And so I'm writing the sequel called An Audience of One. And I'm also currently, I just finished writing a book for children, young children, from like ages 4 to 8. And it is just teaching kids the principles to live wholeheartedly. So I'm currently looking for an illustrator for that first one, but I've already begun writing several more in that series. Again, just to get these principles in kids' hands a whole lot sooner.
That's really great. That's so exciting and so inspiring, too. And I know our listeners are being incredibly inspired by all of this. Can you share with us a little bit about the earlier parts of your life and what really inspired you to want to become a coach? Obviously, it's in your DNA. It's a reflection of the essence of who you are. Things happen in your life that are aha moments that get you to realize this is work I'm meant to do. Tell us about some of that.
Sure. Yeah, growing up, I never gave any thought to being a coach. You know, I graduated from college with a degree in administrative office management, and I also loved to dance. So, you know, what was I going to do with that? Well, I ended up working for an insurance company, and on the side, I taught aerobic dance classes. And so that's how I was able to kind of do both. But I had no idea who I really was. You know, again, my belief about who I thought I was prevented me from seeing the possibilities in front of me. Eventually, however, you know, God led me through this decluttering process and helped me discover who I truly am. And I found my passion, which is to use my voice through speaking and writing books to enthusiastically encourage others to live their best life. And isn't it interesting that my biggest wound was around my voice and my enthusiasm? And here that is directly, you know, in opposition of what my calling is, to use my voice and to use my enthusiasm. So I had to work through that, and most of my clients, I have found their deepest wounds, their deepest lies are directly tied to their purpose and passion. And so I have a great job. I say I get a front row seat to watch God set people free every day and see them embark on their life wholeheartedly. And it's just, I feel like a kid at Christmas every time I show up at a coaching session.
And I'm sure that passion and excitement and enthusiasm your participants realize and they see, and that puts them at ease and creates a great feeling and vibe so they can open up and be authentic and revealing and share things with you they probably don't share with their closest loved ones and colleagues and friends. How would you describe your coaching style?
Well, I'm definitely an action-oriented coach. I'm passionate about helping people not only process their past and their present, but I'm all about helping them to move forward, to gain traction in healthy and productive ways. I have learned it's not only dealing with what has happened to you in your past, but more importantly, what you came to believe about yourself because of what you've been through. And so, again, kids, you know, are self-centered. And so they think if there's anything wrong at home, somehow it must be somehow their problem or their part of it anyway. And so getting free of that is so huge. So in my coaching approach, I've been nicknamed by a few as the Velvet Hammer. You know, I believe I am compassionate and kind, but I am also not afraid to challenge people and to help them connect the dots of what really is missing there so that they can move forward. And, you know, as I've shared before, it's our beliefs about ourselves that continue to do a lot of the damage to our present life and certainly is going to cause issues in our future, you know, unless we deal with them. So, again, we cause most of our own pain and anguish. So that's probably bad news, but it's also good news because you don't have to wait on anybody else to change for you to be able to change your paradigm, learn the truth. You know, Scripture tells us when you learn the truth, it sets you free. And, man, does it feel wonderful to experience the freedom by being who you're created to be and doing what you're created to do. To me, that's experiencing the freedom that Christ purchased for each one of us.
We talk about decluttering. We think about the closets and getting rid of things in the closets and in the basement and in the garage. Tell us about what you mean when you talk about decluttering. It goes a little deeper.
Absolutely. So decluttering really means to remove the stuff that prevents us from living the life we're created to live, the life we've dreamed of. And I compare, you know, there are two approaches to decluttering. Think of cleaning out a closet, for example. One approach, which I used to do frequently, is just to take out a few items and rearrange a bit and go, okay, I cleaned it. But a second approach is to remove every single item out of the closet and pick up each one and examine it and determine, is this really serving me well at this point in my life, or is it time to bless someone else with it or give it away? Take it somewhere else. And so, you know, in essence, those are our beliefs, our thought closet that we need to do that major cleaning out of or decluttering. So, you know, the belief that my enthusiasm was too much, that was the equivalent of me pulling out of the closet, you know, plaid bell bottoms and saying, these aren't a good look for me anymore. I think I can get rid of these. But as we declutter our beliefs, again, we make room for the truth. And it's just, there's nothing like the truth of knowing who you are. So I grew up, again, believing all that garbage about myself. And, of course, that impacted everything I did and every day, every relationship. And now I know the truth. I'm a beautiful, passionate, smart, creative child of God. And God has equipped me and called me to use my voice and my enthusiasm to help others to live their best life. So nothing could be more fun. It's what I think athletes refer to as their sweet spot. It kind of, you feel like you can't miss, but it's the easiest thing in the world because it's just being who you're supposed to be, who you are.
How exciting is that, huh? To actually realize that and to live it and breathe it and share it with the world. It's extraordinary. You know, sometimes people think of coaching and therapy as one. And there are probably some nuances where there's a blending of certain things, but there are distinct differences, right? Tell us the differences between coaching and therapy.
Yes, I believe there's a place for both. Most importantly, I think it's critical that people find an experienced coach or therapist that feels like a good fit for themselves. I also explain the difference. I believe a therapist is a licensed healthcare professional, and they can deal with a variety of mental health concerns and in some cases with medications, whereas a life coach is not a licensed professional. Although many coaches like myself have certifications, life coaching certifications and training to help people process their stuff, if you will. Therapist is the expert in therapy most often, and in coaching, the client is the expert. So I also think about coaching as pulling out of people the wisdom, the wounds, the lies that they need help seeing. A coach helps people to see their blind spots, and of course, we all have them.
Do you think everyone should have a coach? I know that even coaches have coaches.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I think, we all have blind spots, so we need the help of a coach or a counselor or a therapist to help us identify those blind spots and also have the expertise to help us let go of those, again, limiting beliefs and deal with our unhealed wounds and hurts and our unmet needs. And in addition to our past, I mean, let's face it, life continues to throw us challenges every single day. So it's important to be working with someone currently so that, again, we don't allow some of those old patterns to creep up and impact negatively our present circumstances. And I can say I am currently working with a therapist and do fairly regularly. I know working with a specific grief therapist the first year after I lost my husband, Ted, was crucial for my well-being, my mental health, even as I continued to coach others. And as you said, yes. Any good coach has a coach or a therapist, someone to help them. Working with a therapist or a coach is just an incredible blessing.
Oh, I know. It's extraordinary. I love the enthusiasm and the passion that you have. I can hear it, that you really are, you know, ready, set, go with your participants, those that you're working with. And, you know, you're getting as much out of the sessions as they are, which is a beautiful full circle, wholehearted moment. In summary for this particular episode, and again, this is part one of our exclusive close-up radio series with you as our special guest on these episodes, what is your key message to those who have been listening to this episode, part one, that maybe you'd like to share?
Absolutely. My bottom line message is this: your relationship with yourself is the foundation for all your other relationships. I mean, think about it. You're the common denominator in all your relationships. So if you get some help to develop a healthier and more loving relationship with yourself and then with others and with God, you can experience all the freedom that Christ purchased just for you. And you really can experience the joy and the peace and the confidence that comes from living wholeheartedly, living wholly present in your circumstances every day and making the most of every day. You know, I'm reminded with the loss of my husband, none of us are promised tomorrow. So let's make the most of today.
You know, we certainly have made the most of this 30 minutes that went by in a New York minute. it went by so quick. And I love that you have this faith-based approach, because there's a solid foundation there that is beautiful and extraordinary. I do want to let folks know, if they'd like to make contact, and again, this is part one of our two-part series, you can go to AliciaEconomos.com, and I'll spell that for you. That's A-L-I-C-I-A, and then Economos, which is E-C-O-N as in Nick, O-M as in Michael, O-S as in Sam, AliciaEconomos.com. Great website, great place to begin to make contact on your journey to living wholeheartedly. Alicia, this was a real pleasure speaking with you for part one of the series. We look forward to part two, and I appreciate your candor and your openness, and I hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you.
Absolutely. It's been such a pleasure, and I might just wrap up by saying my new released book will be available on Amazon tomorrow. Bright pink cover. It's updated. learning to like yourself, taking the stage, learning to like yourself. So thank you so much, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
On Amazon, congratulations on the new book. That is fantastic, Alicia. Congratulations, Learning to Like Yourself. Pick up your copy, Amazon, hot off the presses, literally. You heard it here first. Alicia, thank you very much. And thanks to our listeners all around the world. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time till next time. I also invite you to stay right there. We'll be back in just a few moments with another incredible guest celebrated right here on Close Up Radio. Just a reminder, this is part one of our Spotlight series with Alicia from Wholehearted Living. She will be back next week with part two. AliciaEconomos.com is the website, and we appreciate her being here, and we thank you for being here as well. For all of us, Jim Masters, have a terrific day, and we'll chat again soon right here on Close Up Radio.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.